What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Red Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Good Monday morning, Chicago. Hello to the Chicago Sports Network audience. We are on simulcast. Layla Rahimi is in for Mully today. We are talking all things NFL playoffs, Cubs and Sammy Sosa coming out of the convention, and certainly the Bears coaching search. The Bears coaching search rolls on over the weekend. They interviewed Eddie George. We are getting ready to connect with Brad Biggs, who was at the Lions game, Layla, watching the Ben Johnson production, the offense that we have admired and marveled at from afar. They had a little razzle-dazzle, maybe a little bit too much razzle and dazzle for some people's taste. And I wonder where you stand before we get to Biggsy on the Ben Johnson candidacy. How realistic do you think it still is? And what did you come out of that game thinking? Was it any different than what you thought going into it about Ben Johnson and his offense?
You dance with the one who brung you, and the Lions' creative play calling, and I will call it creative, I understand that it caused some issues in the game. That game was not won or lost on one play because none of them are. The injury bug, I think, finally bit them too hard this time. To not be able to outlast the Commanders when they had a sizable halftime lead, Washington, that's a disappointment for sure. But when they needed defensive stops, to me, the onus was still on the defense to make that happen, and it didn't. And the turnovers did hurt them. The trick play turnover, I understand, but I don't mind it necessarily because that's who they are and that's what they do.
Jared Goff becoming Jared Gaff was the biggest problem. Throwing
yes.
three picks and the fumble. You know, the big picture playoff takeaway is that you can't fumble the ball if you're Lamar Jackson. You certainly can't give it away if you're Jared Goff. And that's the biggest reason why the Ravens and the Lions, two teams that I picked to win the respective conferences and meet in the Super Bowl, are not playing any longer and were eliminated. So they'll have to deal with those issues in the offseason. But let's get Brad Biggs' point of view because he was at the game in Detroit. He saw Ben Johnson's offense up close and personal. And he now joins us on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo. Your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. The football man from the Chicago Tribune is Brad Biggs. Good morning, Brad. How's it going?
Morning, gang. What's going on?
So tell us your impressions, your biggest takeaway from seeing the Lions up close and personal. What did you think of the game plan and how the Lions lost? And also, bring us up to date on what Ben Johnson does next.
Well, I mean, I've seen Ben Johnson call games in person multiple times now over the last several years. And quarterback threw a couple bad interceptions. There's one play call I imagine everyone involved with the Lions would like back, the reverse pass by Jamison Williams. But you know what? The guy called some creative stuff that caught people by surprise all year long. And I bet his batting average is extremely high with that. It's not going to turn any teams off. It's a fair question for him in the post game or postseason. Like, hey, seriously, what were you thinking in this moment? But this isn't going to dull his resume whatsoever. They got beaten by a Commanders team that's riding a ton of momentum, and I think everybody figured going into the playoffs, Detroit was going to be in a position where it was going to have to score in the high 30s or 40s to win to protect that defense, and that was the case, and they fell short.
I agree with you, Brad. I'm curious to know what your takeaways were just from that game, but I think if there is some sort of overwhelming message here, it may not be on the part of taking anything away from the Lions. They had injury problems all season, and at some point it was going to rear its head, and perhaps that was the game where it did. But the positive here is what the Commanders have been able to do with who they had and the pivots and the turns that they made to get there. That's still my impression of this, is we knew the Lions were facing a challenge all season given their injuries, and it finally came to hurt them.
Yeah, I mean, the Commanders were fantastic. And like I said, they've been riding a lot of momentum. You look at how they closed the regular season in the final month. It's real. Like, what they're able to do when the game's on the line has been proven, and it wasn't even on the line. I mean, they beat Detroit at the Lions game. They were more physical than the Lions in that game, and Jaden Daniels was fantastic. You watch that game, and there weren't rookie mistakes. Like, they had the one, I think it might have been their first fourth down play of the game, where the thing got screwed up. It looked like Mariota was going to pitch it to Jaden Daniels. Like, that's not on Jaden Daniels. So it was a really impressive effort by the Commanders.
All right, Brad, so we know over the weekend the Bears interviewed Eddie George in person. That satisfied the criteria for the Rooney Rule. They are compliant. We know Ben Johnson, according to reports, and you were there, maybe you can add to this, now is free to interview with three teams that have shown interest, the Raiders, the Bears, and the Jaguars. What happens next in terms of the Bears and the coaching search, and how surprised were you that Eddie George became the 17th person interviewed for the job?
Yeah, I mean, Eddie George is a candidate that's, another one of those surprise names. I think that's what I would say to that. If he's got head coaching experience, smaller level in college football, obviously a decorated player in the National Football League, but I don't think he's a legitimate candidate to become a head coach in the NFL anytime soon, and he would probably have to take a longer path toward that. But yeah, you have to think that this thing could gain some real momentum. Ben Johnson can meet with people in person beginning today. And the only people the Bears have talked to that aren't eligible for an in-person meeting today are guys that are still alive in the playoffs. So Joe Brady, the Bills offensive coordinator, they couldn't meet with him today or this week if they wanted to. Pretty much everything else is on the table for them. And I think we're in a situation right now where I would guess that Ben Johnson's got the move to make here before things really get rolling. Now, he's not in play with the Saints, and they've got some second interviews reported that'll happen in the next 48 hours. But I think the other teams, certainly the Raiders, the Bears, and Jacksonville, are in a bit of a holding pattern. See what happens with Ben Johnson. But you would think we'd have some action this week for sure.
Yeah, I don't know if it happens today necessarily. I think you've got to give some people some time to lick their wounds. But do you think it could even happen early in the week, like tomorrow or Wednesday?
Yeah, you just never know. Like, if he's leaning toward one franchise, certainly a lot of reports that he will wind up with the Las Vegas Raiders. You could do a one face-to-face meeting and then lock it up. Like, I don't know that it's a situation where he's going to feel like he has to meet in person with all the teams, you know, we'll see. I don't know. There are a lot of moving parts here. These things are fluid. Things can change quickly. But you would expect that we could see some action in the hiring cycle overall this week. And, you know, now the Bears, they've had all the time in the world to put together a deep and comprehensive list, and now they need to ready to take action and in the second phase be a lot more focused and you know, ready to move.
Now we find out just how coveted the job really is. That was Kevin Warren's contention, the most coveted job available. We have heard the quote, and we have studied whether or not we believe that to be true or not. Brad, but I look at what the reports are with Vegas and the reports that the Raiders, including Tom Brady, interviewed or planned to Lance Newmark, an executive that has a past, a shared history with Ben Johnson, could be his preferred choice as an executive. And certainly they cleared the path for Ben Johnson to come unimpeded without the kind of problem of having the sitting general manager in the way in Vegas in a way that the Bears did not. So when Kevin Warren said the job was the most coveted, I think that what he failed to include was, or maybe overlooked, the alignment that the Raiders offer is not as appealing, perhaps, to Ben Johnson as a team offering him a job in Chicago with a sitting general manager. Do you think that's going to be ultimately the reason the Bears might not be the most coveted job out there?
Well, it certainly could be a factor here with the candidates. There's no question about it. And but it's just one of many factors, right? You're looking at the, you know, ownership. You know, what's the connection with him? Am I reporting directly to ownership, directly to GM? Is the GM going directly to the owner? What's the roster look like? Where am I going to be living? There's just a ton of factors, but the GM issue here could be a legitimate one. Is the quarterback not quite the draw that the Bears figured he would be? And I'm not saying that's the case. I'm saying that's a question worth exploring here, because there's not a quarterback in Las Vegas. There's not. And I don't know that there's a path to get one this year. But hypothetically, if the Raiders are offering you a six-year contract and you believe in what Tom Brady's saying and you're going to have an opportunity to go through the process and do it the right way, well, then maybe you're not turned off by the fact that it's a roster that's got Max Crosby and Brock Bowers and maybe like a dozen other NFL players. Like, that's it. Like, the cupboards aren't bare. The cupboards don't have doors on them in Las Vegas. But they might be able to get a big-time coaching guy there. And you look at Jacksonville. Like, how do you feel about Trevor Lawrence? Some people would feel pretty solid about him. And you go look at his numbers, especially in 22 and 23, and Trevor Lawrence's numbers, they stand up. So that could be in play if Shad Khan says if I get the right coach and he lays out the right case to me that he wants to work with someone else, maybe Shad Khan pulls the trigger on Trent Baalke, the GM there, who's not going to be able to entice a lot of top candidates to the Jaguars.
Yeah, I agree, Brad. It's not the question of if Caleb Williams is not just the best fit for somebody, but if that person also wants to have a hand in a quarterback decision moving forward for their team. You know, we talked about the clock and how at least Williams signified Ryan Poles' quarterback clock and what time it started. And now we know about, you know, the year being a lifetime. But I completely agree when it comes to that question. I do want to ask, what is your opinion of Tom Brady's access when it comes to this coaching search and his influence, given his position with Fox in the NFL?
You know, like, it certainly gives Tom Brady a little bit of an edge. I think he's not allowed in the Lions facility. He hasn't met with Ben Johnson in Allen Park where the Lions facility is. Like, there are some rules in place for that. If owners have a problem with it, they probably should have done something about it before they voted to allow him to purchase, I think it's reportedly a 5% stake in the Raiders organization, because they already knew at the time he was working with Fox. Like, you know, that's your self-created problem then if this is now an issue. And don't act like you didn't know the Raiders would be in the hiring cycle, because they're there every 12 to 24 months. Like, that's what Mark Davis has done. And now perhaps they have an adult in the room and they can get things straightened out for their organization. We'll have to see. Like, is that going to be the deciding factor, though, in Ben Johnson picking the Raiders over these other teams? I don't think so. I mean, if you want to delude yourself into thinking that, sure. But it's also, you know, there's just other factors in play here that I think if indeed he goes to Vegas, it'll be because of those, not because Tom Brady was able to chat with him pregame on the field. Like, I truly don't believe that's sealing the deal for the Raider organization.
All right, Brad, let's look at what the Bears are facing from how delicate of a balance they have to strike here. They're waiting, perhaps, on word from Ben Johnson. Can they get an in-person interview? Meanwhile, in New Orleans, they're moving forward with their search for the next head coach. They're bringing in Mike Kafka on Tuesday. They still are said to be interested in Mike McCarthy. The Bears, that could be their backup plan, plan B, if you will, with Mike McCarthy, yet they don't want to lose him to the Saints and lose Ben Johnson to the Raiders if, in fact, those are their two top choices. How does this week unfold in your mind in regard to Mike McCarthy, and do you feel like that would be their best backup plan if they don't get Ben Johnson?
Well, I think McCarthy's very interesting if Ben Johnson's not in play. But what we don't know is how they feel about some of these guys that they've met with that are coordinators. Like, where are they at with Todd Monken, who's now available after the Baltimore Ravens were eliminated? You know, is he a guy that they're interested in? I don't know the answer to that question. I'm just throwing it out there. Like, would they want to talk to Mike Kafka, who New Orleans is bringing in a second time? I don't know. You don't want to have a super long list of guys that are in that final group. Anthony Weaver apparently getting a second interview with the Saints as well. But McCarthy, with his experience, with the background he has developing young quarterbacks, you would imagine is in the mix for the Bears. But we just don't know how they've ordered up some of these other guys that they've talked to that haven't had head coaching experience yet. So the guys that would be in line maybe right behind Ben Johnson.
Yeah, Brad, history dictates that the Bears would now respond by hiring somebody who doesn't have head coaching experience to perhaps hiring someone who does. You've been here a lot longer than I have, but I do think of John Fox in this, and I wonder how much that piece of it is attractive to them. Somebody who has done the job before, knowing that Ryan Poles has the time he has left.
Well, the Bears haven't really gone back and forth on experience first-time head coaches. Fox was really the first guy with experience that they had hired in an awful long time. I think it's more looking at a guy they feel will have a plan for the quarterback. Like, there's a gap between Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, and it's significant right now. And the Bears have got to find a way to close that gap. Like, they were in position to take the top player in the draft. They selected Williams. One season does not define what a player is going to become or anything of that nature at all. But, like, if it's a horse race right now, like, there's a distance that Caleb's got to close here to catch up to Jaden Daniels, and they've got to get the right coaching with him in order to make that happen. So I think you're looking at the plan, the vision that the coach has, the ideas he has for staffing, guys that he could bring with him, more so than has he been a head coach before, or would this be his first time doing it?
Great stuff, Brad. Really appreciate the update. Hope you had a great weekend, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, real quick, Dave, on the Cubs convention, the cold case that's out there, did you get any clues to solving who destroyed Sammy's boombox?
I did not. I did not. I know that you were very much riveted to that question and answer. In 15 minutes with Sammy, Brad, I am very sorry that did not come up. I feel like I failed you.
Because, people talk about the Sox Park shooting, which is a cold case, but this boom, the destruction of that boombox remains unsolved.
Well, let's just say that he did hug it out with one of the leading suspects. Is that fair enough? So if he saw Kerry Wood and Sammy embrace on stage and talk off stage, you were maybe dissuaded from thinking that was maybe a cold case. I think maybe it's solved and everyone's moved on except for you.
All right. Well, we'll
you can live in the past if you want, Brad. But we'll
need to talk about this a little further off the air.
Okay, I'm sure you will.
Yeah, I want to know the hot gossip. Yeah. I'm Team Cold Case.
Okay, thanks, Brad. Good stuff. Oh, you can count on Bigsy for a little bit of everything.
I love Brad's non-Bears talk.
Oh, you definitely would.
I love it. Like, that would be a show for all of it. Yes.
I want to do that show.
He was great last week, the assessment.
Let's talk hockey. You can talk hockey. I would love to get his Notre Dame Ohio State thoughts.
Fair.
Anyway,
yes.
When we come back, we're going to reset in terms of where are the Bears in their search, what happened over the weekend, and what lies ahead for a very pivotal week when you're talking about the Bears finding a head coach. Layla Rahimi in for Mully. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Or that are looking for head coaches, the Saints, the Jets, the Bears, the Raiders, and the Jaguars. I don't think they were expecting the Commanders to win. And for Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, the offensive and defensive coordinators of the Detroit Lions, to be in the mix, to be able to meet with teams starting tomorrow, and they can be hired as early as this week. And these two guys are expected to get head coaching jobs.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Layla Rahimi in for Mully today. That was Adam Schefter from ESPN on the latest with the Bears' pursuit of Ben Johnson. We've got a lot to get to today. We're going to talk about what Tom Ricketts had to say at the Cubs convention coming up in the next segment. We've got the Sammy Sosa interview we're going to play for you at 8 o'clock. But, Layla, I wanted to address where exactly the Bears stand because Ben Johnson's availability may have accelerated their process. There was an understanding that maybe we would have to wait in Chicago until the last day after the Super Bowl or the first day after the Super Bowl for them to move. Now they can interview Ben Johnson in person if he's so inclined. Now they can move on Mike McCarthy if they want. Now they have clarity in what they're dealing with, whether it's Todd Monken who's available. They have a lot of options at their disposal that maybe they didn't expect to have. And yet, you wonder how it affects Mike McCarthy's availability. And also, could they hire a head coach before they even interview Cliff Kingsbury? A lot of options out there.
There are a lot of people asking, why isn't Cliff Kingsbury a part of this? And he's said he wants to focus on the Commanders' playoff run. And I appreciate that. I also think if the Commanders weren't still alive in the playoffs, I'm not so sure, based on Kingsbury's answer, that he would be amenable to a request from the Bears.
I agree with that. How do you feel about that, though? Because Todd Monken last week articulated what a lot of people think who are in those situations. Yeah, this is imperfect. Yeah, this isn't fair. But you know what? This is the system. We have to accept that it is flawed. But if we want to be a head coach, you almost have to take part in it. You have to play the game. What Cliff Kingsbury is saying is basically like, I'm not playing that game. I'm getting paid by the Cardinals. I've got a great job. I want to focus on that. And you know what? If it costs me a chance to be a head coach again, so be it.
It's a tough balance because you're right. There is some game playing that is involved. And I wouldn't even say it's humility. It's worse than that. You know, you're letting the game essentially run you in football when it comes to head coaching jobs and candidacy and second chances. Brad Biggs mentioned Matt Nagy being mentioned in the coaching cycle before there were any rumors and reports a few weeks ago. And I thought it was very valid because they deserve those chances. What Kingsbury is working on right now is special. That's the hard part of this, is that Ben Johnson waits a year and look at how his stock has only risen since then. He could have left last season.
He could have left last season for Washington. Ironic.
And you see what's happened. He's dictating the market right now. So I'm not hating on Cliff Kingsbury's decision at all. I actually think it's a smart one given what they're trying to do. They have a real chance to go to the Super Bowl.
They really do, because
the Eagles' injuries are serious. We don't know the status of Jalen Hurts.
That's the story of the week in
right.
Philadelphia and in the league. The final four teams, that's the biggest question mark. Is Jalen Hurts' knee going to be okay for him to be Jalen Hurts? Don't know. So that could lead the path for the Commanders to be in the Super Bowl. But back to Kingsbury, he's somebody that, will you feel like if they hire somebody else without speaking to him that they missed out? I think that's the fear, is that Cliff Kingsbury takes a team or an offense to the Super Bowl. Let's say they win the NFC. Does he become more attractive because of that success? And do you feel like you could afford to wait? Because if you wait, you might lose Ben Johnson to the Raiders, Mike McCarthy to the Saints. Then where are you? I know you've interviewed 17 people, but are any of them as attractive as Cliff Kingsbury might be in 7 days?
Well, and as Big Z appropriately pointed out, the growth with that particular quarterback. But given what happened the last time, where we don't know how Cliff Kingsbury feels about what happened. We also know that we have sound where you talked about it. But to me, there's a lot of different ways you can interpret him pausing and saying that he didn't want to discuss it. I don't necessarily know that that was a dig at the Bears. I will say this. Are the Bears interviewing a lot of people because they know that maybe Ben Johnson wasn't going to be, they weren't going to be the favorites for Ben Johnson?
Maybe that's it. Because if that's good awareness,
favorites.
Then, I mean, I do think that present company included, it has been easy to poke fun and maybe mock how many names are on a list that seem to go on forever. I'm wondering what they were looking for or if they knew at all what they were looking for. That said, I get the research project nature of this exercise because they had to use their time wisely. But now it's go time, right? It's go time because you need to know and you need to act in a way that that allows you to get who you want or pursue that person without losing your backup plan. If the week ends and neither Ben Johnson nor Mike McCarthy are your head coach, that is going to leave you feeling like full of regret, I believe, because you have one and two. I know how you feel about McCarthy, but I also feel like they believe he provides them a higher floor than maybe any other candidate in this process.
Nobody's questioning the floor with Mike McCarthy. You get to the playoffs. What happens when you're there? Observers of what just happened in the NFC North, for example, do you feel differently after seeing how the teams in the North lost? Did it make you view the Bears any differently? Ask yourself that, and then you understand how people feel about Mike McCarthy's 5 years in Dallas and what happened in the playoffs. And thus, the Cowboys' reaction. He's available for a reason. But I want to go back to another data point here.
Okay.
A couple weeks ago, How mad were so many people about Mike Vrabel not interviewing in person?
Yes.
I wasn't as mad because I feel like it was a pretty done deal that he was going to go
you
to
think
New
they
England.
Knew? And that's why they didn't bother?
I do.
Bother? Yeah,
I think
perhaps.
I think you have to at least give them that credit. I don't have inside information.
Well,
I'm
likewise,
not saying
you,
that.
You wonder if they know something about Ben Johnson, right?
They've got to have some market knowledge here. Their devotion to certain agents is another issue, as we have discussed and will continue to today. But when it comes to logistics, I think they knew some people, they had to get an interview done, but maybe they knew that person was likely going somewhere.
This is something else to consider. That's a really good point. Maybe they knew when they were saving themselves the effort and all those things.
I don't know why I wasn't as mad about that one. I just wasn't.
I kind of was. But I think when you look at now where they are, what do you think the chances are, or what would your reaction be if Ben Johnson, who we don't really know that well, I don't want to pretend like we know about his next move, his psyche, his football influences, all those things. What if Ben Johnson decides he's fine in Detroit, wants to run it back to be part of the best team in the NFC again, and next year is the year? I don't know if that's likely or feasible. But I do know that he has been somebody, according to reporting about from people who know him and know the league, wants things almost too perfect. Maybe just a little bit, or maybe it's not too perfect, but he wants things his way. Maybe he'll get them in Vegas, or maybe he'll want to stay at a place where he has a quarterback, he has the infrastructure, and he's happy. What chance do you think there is of Ben Johnson returning to the Lions?
I think it's a high chance because there's unfinished business there. And he's only been rewarded in his value when it comes to him staying with Detroit. I wouldn't blame him one bit for that. I also think that if you're the leading candidate in a coaching cycle, then ask for what you deserve. What's proven about these teams that have job openings? Isn't that the point?
That's a good point.
There is an element of failure here. It's kind of like the discussion we had about Caleb Williams. You're in the position you are having the first overall pick for a reason. It's not ideal. There are some flaws.
But what do you want more? To be a head coach and be one of 32, or for the situation and circumstances to be perfect once you have an opportunity to be one of those coaches? I don't know if I could resist that opportunity, because I don't know that I would believe that it would automatically return next year. Let's talk about a guy that you're high on, Bobby Slowick Jr. Now, the Texans were in the playoffs again. C.J. Stroud, two straight years as a playoff quarterback. Bobby Slowick Jr. was the offensive coordinator. That a year ago at this time, pretty hot commodity.
Right.
This year, not so much.
Yeah.
Why have not the Bears interviewed him? What happened to his status? And I think it's a lesson that maybe Ben Johnson doesn't want to neglect or overlook. This year's hot commodity could be next year's afterthought.
I am aware of that. And Dustin aptly pointed that out during the pick six, and I do think it's a fair question, because when you consider the success, they still got to that point. They still got to this weekend. I think injuries also bemoan the Texans, especially when it came to options for C.J. Stroud. What happened to Nico Collins was an issue. What happened to Stephon Diggs was an issue. You can't overlook that. But why didn't he become the hot name? Another guy who interviewed for the Dallas job is Eagles offensive coordinator Kellen Moore.
Yes.
There's another name.
He could be the next Cowboys head coach.
Eddie George was the 17th head coaching candidate that the Bears have interviewed, and yet somehow we're still coming up with more names that we could add to this list.
Eddie George was the 17th head coaching candidate interviewed by the Bears, but the first with onstage experience in a musical. I think he's the first definitely musical actor that was interviewing for the head coaching job with the Bears.
He's a man of many talents.
Yes, he is. Also an analyst weekly on the big college football show on the Chicago Sports Network. So, yeah, Eddie George qualified in many areas. His post-game press conferences would be entertaining, but I don't think he's a serious candidate. Nonetheless, we will get back to the coaching search and what's going on with the Bears in the next hour. When we come back, we've got the Sammy Sosa interview at 8 o'clock. Before we get there, we need to address some things we heard from Tom Ricketts at the Cubs convention. What was he saying when he was talking about the Cub finances and how they compare to the Dodgers? Layla Rahimi in for Mully. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We got to get back to being a team that competes for titles, and that's everything. You know, we just have to. I mean, so many people pour so much emotion and energy and financial resources into this club. We just have to pay them back. You know, we have to make sure that we give them those meaningful games, those playoff games, and work toward more titles.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Layla Rahimi in for Mully today. That was Tom Ricketts over the weekend at the Cubs convention. We interviewed him Saturday morning on Inside the Clubhouse. He said some interesting things in various interviews that he conducted, Layla. The biggest takeaway, I think, was how he wanted to make clear his talking points were that, you know what, the Cubs aren't going to be like the Dodgers. They aren't going to be necessarily a team with a bottomless pit of resources or money, no matter how much we want to expect that and hope that they behave like a big market team. There's a difference in Tom Ricketts' mind between a big market team and the LA Dodgers, which have all the resources and they get all the guys. The latest being Tanner Scott closer, 4 years, $72 million on Sunday. And then they began the weekend by signing Roky Sasaki, which had less to do with money, but all to do with reputation.
Oh, so we also need to include the Mets in this.
Yes.
The Dodgers' opponent in the NLCS, mm-hmm. whose plucky underdog fight and massive payroll got them to this point.
It was plucky.
That's a great word. When I think of the underdogs, I think of the Mets and
that's
their massive payroll.
Yeah.
It also means that the Yankees are a team that you're saying you don't want to be. I'm old enough to remember when the Yankees were the evil empire.
And they got
the
everyone they wanted except for Juan Soto. And you know what they did? As you have pointed out, they pivoted well after losing Juan Soto.
They aggressively added.
Yes,
in
they
response.
Did. And I think you want that response from the Cubs. And I know they got Kyle Tucker, but you also realize when they did so, he's only going to be a rental. I did not hear anything over the weekend that makes me think otherwise. We did hear Tom Ricketts.
That part is a big deal to me.
It is, because it's consistent with what Tom's message and theme was, and maybe his intent. I mean, the talking points were very clear. So I wanted to hear your reaction to, this is about a minute and a half, Tom Ricketts defending the Cubs and their approach to spending.
Baseball, the business model in baseball, it's worked pretty well for a long time, but there's a few things right now that just are a little out of kilter. Obviously, the Dodgers have a lot more resources naturally from smart business moves they made years ago, and so I don't begrudge them any of that. You know, some teams just have outside resources that are funding their player moves and acquisitions, and that's really hard to compete with. And I understand when fans say, how come you don't spend like that? Because they think somehow we have all these dollars that the Dodgers have or the Mets have or the Yankees have, then we just keep it, which isn't true at all. Like, what happens is we try to break even every year, and that's about it. And so And I think that there's one problem, and then I think there's a competitive balance issue that gets created. But the other problem is I don't think fans should spend all their time thinking about which team has more money or how much they're spending. We should talk about players and who we draft and who we're developing. And I just think it becomes a big narrative that's a distraction. So I think the model could get better. And then secondly, I think the other part of this is, and a little bit frustrating at times, is, you know, we've invested more in the team and the ballpark and the neighborhood than any other owner out of their pocket in baseball. Like, we came out privately financing all the renovations at Wrigley, everything we do around Wrigley Field, you know, roughly $1 billion. And no one has that kind of financial commitment to their team. And so so when I have a fan come up and say, hey, you're cheap, or you're open your wallet or something like that, I just think they're just misinformed. And it's just I think it's just the wrong way to look at our ownership.
I was struck at how pointed and aggressive that comment came across, and it was definitely intentional. What was your reaction to what Tom Ricketts had to say? They are not the Yankees, they're not the Mets, they're not the Dodgers.
I push back on no one has that kind of financial commitment to their team, because that's not the team on the field. That's the ecosystem around it. I enjoy it. I was at the sportsbook last night watching the two NFL games, the DraftKings sportsbook. It was awesome. I had a really good time. You don't even have to make a bet to hang out there. It was a lot of fun. I support it. I've had dinner at Big Star. I go to Rally House all the time, famously. I guess, you know, I'm part of the solution there when it comes to putting money back into that part. But that's not your team. That's the experience around it, which you're trying to create. I do think that the Cubs not having an all-star game, that's where you can push back with that information. But let us remind you of the top five projected payrolls right now in baseball and where they finished last season. Number one is the Dodgers. Number two is the Mets. Number three is the Phillies. Four is the Yankees. Five is the Astros projected for 2025. So four out of those five end up where? In the championship series.
Wanted to get to this really quick before the break. I pushed back during the interview about, okay, fine, but when you trade Cody Bellinger in this $27.5 million contract, you need to put it back into the team. When is that going to happen, if it is? Because if it doesn't happen, it just looks like a salary dump. He pushed back and said, no, it's not a salary dump.
If we trade Cody Bellinger for a starting pitcher, that's a trade. If we trade Cody Bellinger to get the resources to sign a pitcher, that's a salary dump, right? It doesn't make any sense. Like, so fact is, those resources come back in. Jed gets to repurpose them. He'll put them back where the team has a greater need, and that's how we get better.
So that suggests that maybe what Jed was saying yesterday, we should pay a little closer attention to. You're not done yet this offseason.
We're not done yet this offseason.
Okay, then. Let's get on with it. I know it just was Saturday. But when he says that on Saturday, and then the Dodgers signed Tanner Scott on Sunday, I know Carlos Estevez is still out there, but let's get on with it. There's got to be a component part. There's got to be a second to that, you know?
I would love them to add more slug. That's what I would love.
More slug, a closer. They need another player. They need to replace Bellinger. They haven't done that yet, even though they have Kyle Tucker. All right, so that was Tom Ricketts. Obviously, a lot of people wanted to hear Sammy Sosa. We talked to him Friday night. When we come back, we'll play the interview Bruce Levine and I conducted Friday night at the Cubs convention. Laidler Rahimi's in for Mully. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.